Magnolia. I won't say Tomball, I've said it so long. It's close, so. Send greetings to you this morning. I told the last thing when I left last Sunday to tell you that we are thankful to have ties with this church. You've always been so gracious to all of us, and we appreciate that, and I believe it's right that we can get along and all be of the same mind, and that's kind of what I want to talk to you about today. Turn with me to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, for a beginning. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in verse 1 of that chapter, he said, I'm writing to you that I may stir up your pure minds in way of remembrance. So it does us good, and that's why we're assembled here today, that we might remember. Those things that are given to us of God. You know, we always have this battle going on in us. We always will have, as long as we're in this life, there's war going on within us. So we need to be reminded often. Lord himself told Moses, he said, go read them the law, read them the whole thing. Don't leave any out. And then we're told to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but we assemble even the more as we see the day approaching, and we live in that day. Certainly, there's a lot of debate going on about when the second coming of Christ is, but we certainly live in that day. He said this is the day that is the beginning of second coming. So we live in the last days. We live in trouble sometimes, and in times where it seems like there's no peace. It's always an argument. Everything that comes up is an argument, and especially in the church. Seem like that old whore church, what I'm talking about, referring to now. Certainly we have some in all of our churches because we're still just in this old fleshly body and we have a tendency to go astray. So we're told that we must assemble, that we must be subject unto one another. All be of an humble mind, humble spirit, and condescend to things of a lower estate, and not be puffed up. That's what's happened to most churches today. They become puffed up in their knowledge. But their knowledge is not a pure, true knowledge. It isn't a knowledge of the justification that comes in Jesus Christ. They preach Jesus all the time, but not the justification or the faith that comes by him, or is his, actually, given to us. So we are united together in one spirit, in one God that gives that spirit. And we're drawn together by that same Spirit if we be of Christ. In chapter 3 of 1 Peter then, he comes down, I want to begin in verse 8, I guess, read a few verses here. But now he's come through a great deal of stuff up to this time, how masters ought to treat their servants, and how servants ought to treat their masters, and how husbands ought to treat their wives, and now wives ought to treat their husbands. And the children how the children ought to act. I brought something similar this last Sunday, and I said it isn't that you act like a Christian, but if you're a Christian, then you will act like a Christian, and certainly to one another. Now, in our day, it's being taught that people can act like a Christian and be a Christian. Do this, do that, have these certain little rules. Most of them got a new Ten Commandments on the wall. This is what we strive to do right here, so do this. But the truth is, it's all in this old Bible. It's the whole will of God. It's every word that proceeds out of God's mouth that we look unto, that it might guide us, that it might be the way that we live, might be the way we walk, might be our conversation, the things that we ought to do, and especially concerning one another. I had that song a while ago in my mind, blessed be the tie that binds. What is it that binds us all together? It's the Spirit of God that comes and holds us together. And he's talked about all these things down here, how you ought to act. And in verse 8, he said, finally, be ye all of one mind. What mind is that? Mind of Christ. We said we have the mind of Christ. So be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brethren. Certainly this is fulfillment of the law. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and thy brother as thyself. Something else that I reminded our people of last Sunday, too, is that this Bible is not written to everybody. Now, people might take exceptions to that, but that's true. It is always addressed to the people of God. It won't do a man, a worldly man, a man without Christ, without the knowledge of saving grace, it won't do him one whit of good, and it won't do him any good to read. Oh, it'd be like James talking about, said that you believe that there's a God, they'll do us well. Well, it's good. Read it. I'm not saying don't read it. Read it. It'll do you good. But it won't save you. You know what? The saving grace of God comes by the preaching of the gospel. That's it. They don't say that anywhere in this scripture that comes any other way, by the preaching of the gospel. And that's what binds us together. And then verse 9, he said, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. As to the people of God. A lot of people want to claim blessing, but the blessings that they claim are not in their reach, and they certainly cannot have it by a mere decision. And that's it, that decision movement has eaten us up. It has taken away the sovereignty of God in the hearts of men and caused them to think that they can do something else. In Psalms 133, he said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is good. That's wonderful, isn't it? We can come together and agree. We may not agree on every point because we're still in this flesh and we see some things different than others. But it, for the most part, it's agreeable. And people of God don't have an argument about what the color of the carpet ought to be or falling out. If the carpet is red, it'd be all right. If it's green, it'll still be all right. We might have our own opinions, but we don't care into the spiritual realm. And then in verse 2, it said, it's like a precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. It completely covered him. He said, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. That's what blessing we're talking about. Commanded a blessing, even life forevermore, eternal life. The blessings of God. That's what we were called unto, and that is our inheritance, God Himself, the blessings of eternal life. Verse 11, then he said, let him eschew evil. No, I skipped a little bit. For he that will love life, in verse 10, and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. That's who this is written to. How can they hear unless they be a preacher? And how can you preach unless he be sent? And that's the way it comes. Righteous in his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Be not afraid of their fear. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid for their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. There must be an humbleness of spirit, even in our teaching, in our correction, in whatever we do. There must be an humbleness of spirit. A bowing down to the fear of the Lord, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, that the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So we are brought together by this quickening. The quickening then brings humbleness. The quickening cuts to the heart. That's what it is, cut to the quick. So this quickening brings an humble spirit, causes it to bow down before God and is of the same judgment as his brother. That's the way we judge. We judge in humbleness. We don't jump up and judge things before it's time. It's better to be patient and wait upon the Lord. I know in times past, I know that people have got upset with preaching. And maybe he wasn't preaching what was just right. We're still in this flesh, and sometimes we have a little problem understanding. And these things then ought to make us be more patient, knowing the fear of the Lord. We ought to be concerned about whether it's right or not, but we ought to not just jump up and leave and say, well, man said something's wrong. But we are all taught of the Lord as we live in this world, and that's the reason we assemble ourselves together. That's the reason we're told to assemble. That we might once again study the Word of the Lord, and that we might know what His will is, that it might guide us in these things. In 2 Timothy, the first chapter, we have more admonition along these same things. In verse 7, he said, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind." Be of the same mind. And we said again, what is that mind? It's the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. It's in this book that we call the Bible. That's where we find it out. That's where we know the mind of Christ. And then we rally around that. Be of the same mind. So we rally around that. We're of a sound mind. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." We don't step outside those bounds. We don't take on more things than we ought to. That's what he's trying to say. "According to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling." Not just any calling. Oh, there's so many today that are called. They say they're called. Preachers everywhere, they're called. And it's a strange thing that they being called to a certain church, if one down the road give them a little more money, their calling changes. Go down there where the money is better. That's not a calling. Our calling, though, is of a holy nature. But it's not according to our works either. That's what he said next, not according to our works. It's not of us. What do we have that we have not received of God? That's the reason we ought to be humble about these things. We ought to be of a contrite spirit. Because we hadn't learned anything on our own. That's the reason I said in the beginning that this word was written unto the people of God, because the people of the world cannot understand these things. They are of a spiritual nature, and the worldly nature can't understand that spiritual nature. They try to teach it when they ought to be teachers. When they ought to have teachers be taught rather than be teachers, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. Everything has a purpose with God. God does not just wander around and make up His mind every day. He's the same today as He was yesterday. Day after day, according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, folks don't want to hear this. It's too sovereign right here, you know. But it was before the world began. God didn't just wake up one day and make these decisions. It's ever, forever been this way. But it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through what? The gospel. That's what I said before. It won't come any other way. The preaching of the gospel. And what is the preaching of the gospel? It's Jesus Christ. That's the center of all of the preaching of the gospel. The gospel itself is centered in Jesus Christ and in nothing else. Oh, but nowadays they want to go off on some other tangent, like a decision. We just decide to believe. Now you just try that. You can do that in worldly things. Just decide to believe something. If it isn't proven unto you, you're not going to believe it. And that's the way with the gospel. The Lord proves it unto you, unto your hearts. But it's now made manifest. Now, it's been preached all the time from the very beginning, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. And hath brought life and immortality. What's the blessing? Life forevermore. Who hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel? And in verse 13, he said, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." That's where it's all centered, in Christ Jesus. And what we hold forth is that. Be a Christian. We are Christian. Of the same mind. Of the mind of Christ. In the book of Colossians, the third chapter, I guess in verse 7, "In which ye also walked sometimes how ye did live when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, and lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." So we don't just act like a Christian. Being a Christian, you put those things away. "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him." Talking about Jesus Christ, we put on that knowledge. We have the mind of Christ. "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." So we're not to be puffed up. We're to be of the same mind. We're to mind the same things. And it doesn't matter what thing in life that you have. Whether you be bond or free, Jew or Greek, doesn't make any difference. Male or female. It's all the same in Christ Jesus. It's all put together. He said, "Put on," in verse 12, "therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." Well, let's be patient. Don't jump up and get mad and say, "Well, he don't know anything." Like I said before, we don't have anything that we weren't given. So we need to be long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. "If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you," here's our example, so also do ye. And above all these things, above all of that, that's the reason we're assembled, that we might remember these things. Above all these things, put on charity or love, which is a bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. We're all one. We're not divided. We're one man. We speak the same man. We love the same things when it comes to pure religion. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And what? Be ye thankful that the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And the church at Corinth had a little problem with this. They had it kind of turned around. Everybody had a psalm, and everybody had a hymn, and everybody tried to be somebody, sit in the higher places. And they weren't of the same mind. The Apostle Paul gave them strong admonition to quit that. Quit, one, trying to usurp authority over the other. That's what we've been talking about. We're all of the same mind, of an humble spirit, of an humble mind. And walk in the newness of life. Life is in these things. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him, by Jesus Christ. So whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. That's what he's saying here also. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We have no other ability outside of what he gives us. And we praise him for that. In the book of Romans, the third chapter, I guess in verse 7, for if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? I don't think it's where I want. I'll get straight here in a minute. Chapter 12. Go with me to 13. That's where I want to go first. got a little mixed up. Render there in verse 7 said, render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor, owe no man anything. But to love one another, this is all we owe, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet it. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill. If it be true love, we're of the same mind. And we don't bear any ill to our brother. I'll go back and emphasize once again that people can come together and have a government, whether they be a church, so-called church or whatever, and they can control their people. And they can cause them to do certain things, and they can have them acting like what they say is Christian. But if it doesn't have this quality of love, then there isn't any union in it. Anything can jump up and cause unrest in that body and mess the whole thing up. But if it's in love, that's a whole different thing. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing that the time that now is nigh, high nigh, to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light, and let us walk honestly, as in the day. Well, how are you going to do that? In brotherly love. He's talking about as in the body. As we come together, we're commanded to love. Well, how are you going to keep that command? You must have the mind of Christ. If outside the mind of Christ, man cannot keep this command. It must be of him. It must be in the newness of life that's set forth in the gospel that draws men unto this peace and harmony and unity that's in the faith of Jesus Christ. Justification is of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not our own. Decision won't justify anybody. And that's what's wrong with what's being taught today, and that's what is driving a wedge among the people, because they don't have this understanding of love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and mind and soul and thy neighbor as thyself. That's what brings forth unity of the Spirit. It brings a blessing which is eternal. Life in Christ Jesus. In Philippians, Book of Philippians. In chapter 3, in verse 13, I guess, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, sometimes we have to lay those things down day by day, too. They tend to follow us because of our old fleshly nature. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. What is going to make you perfect? The Holy Spirit. Now, you not be perfect in every way. You might like red carpet, and I might like green carpet, or I might like fried chicken, and you like beefsteak or something. But in the things of God, it would be perfect. We would be perfect. Be thus mine. Be of the same mind. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. That's what I said. Be patient. You're not going to learn it all one day, in one sitting, in one sermon. You won't learn all of it ever. So we need to continue to look into the perfect law of liberty, that we might be mindful of these things, and might be remanded to have the same mind. God shall reveal them unto us if we stay with it. Those that endure till the end. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, have the same judgment. Let us mind the same thing. We need to be followers together. In the next verse, he says something similar to that. Be followers of the same. In 1 Corinthians, first chapter, verse 4, he said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. What do we have that we didn't receive? That in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So if you become, that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Into the fellowship, brethren. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. Be of same mind. And that ye be no, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Well, we judge, don't we? That's a popular thing with the old whore church today. Oh, don't judge. Don't, you better judge. Better be the judge of all things. But by the perfect law of liberty. That's this Bible. That's the way we judge. in the same judgment, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Coli, that there are contentions among you. Well, got a problem, haven't you? Because they are not of the same mind. Everyone got a psalm, and everyone got a hymn, and everyone won't tell you what to do. But if it isn't of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you need to judge that. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. Where do we get our wisdom? Where do we get our knowledge? Where do we get the mind that we have? Certainly, if we be children of God and have attained the inheritance, and we be of a holy faith and a holy spirit abide in us, then we will have the same mind, and there won't be any contentions among us when it comes to spiritual things. We're going to make an error every once in a while. But be patient, whether it's with the man sitting in the back pew or the preacher in the pulpit. Be patient. I know over my lifetime that there's been many things that even the preacher and the people in the audience didn't have an inkling about what was going on. But patience in the right spirit will teach you all things. That's what spirit was sent for, wasn't it? I'm going to go away, and if I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that He might teach you all things, that we might therefore be of a sound mind first, and of the same mind, of the same body. Many members, but they're one body. One mind. One soundness of mind. And we are to deliver to one another in our conversation those things that be sound and sane. What of a sound mind? Sometimes I wonder about mine, how sound it is. Can't remember anything. I'll turn the water on and go off and leave and think I'll go back and turn it off after a while and leave the thing on. Not of a too sound a mind in those things. Certainly none of us are, and that's the reason that we assemble ourselves together. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Call a solemn assembly. Assemble yourself together. That we might be reminded. That we might be called to remember. These things come that they might stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So we come together that we might remember these things. Not that we're going to completely forget them. The Holy Spirit's going to keep prodding us. And we study during the week that we might remember. And we come together that we might remember to be of the same mind. It's good when we can come together in a unity of spirit. in Romans, the 12th chapter. We'll finish up here. I'm going to read several verses. In verse 1, I said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace that is given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Where do you get it? It was given to you. You didn't learn it. It was given to you. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, we don't all do the same thing. And because one is a little better in his job than the other, we ought not be puffed up, but be patient. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Or him that sitting on the bench listening. You know, we need a lot of listeners. I'm a lot better listener than I am teacher. That's what I've tried to tell them down at our church. You need to get somebody else to do this, because I do better at listening. But so far it hadn't happened. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Don't go tell somebody, look what I give, what I done. No, you just do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that escheweth mercy with cheerfulness, and let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another. Oh, this is our whole thing. That's the reason we say brother and sister. We're of the same family. When one hurts, we all hurt. When one is feeling good, we all feel good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. What? Serving the Lord. This is acceptable. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Look out after the other man's stuff. Some people read that, but, you know, they ought to get some of his, but we look out after his benefits, not our own. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to what? To hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, and bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. One hurts, all hurt. Verse 16, be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. He's talking about your general conversation now. As you go about life out here, you set forth the same example outside as you do inside in the body. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. Judgment is of the Lord. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. Sometimes we don't think, boy, we ought to get that fellow. And he will. Dearly beloved, revenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Lord is going to take vengeance. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Verse 13 then, as we walk, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So we walk the same way outside as we do inside, that we might show forth the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ. That's our whole duty, is to love one another. We don't love the world or the things of the world, but we love the things that are in the church. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. And live peaceably with all men, as much as it is possible. Therefore, we communicate those things of God, even without having said them. They go out and they teach of the mercies that's with God. We always are looking, though, into the perfect law of liberty, that we might be reminded of those things that are good and honest and decent and acceptable with our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother.